In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. If you were to rate all the miracles of God in order, if you were to rate them in the order of which miracle you think is the most awesome, what would be on top? Would it be Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish? That's a pretty awesome miracle, especially if you're feeding your family on a regular basis. Would it be when he calmed the wind and the waves with his powerful word? Who wouldn't want to be in control of the weather? Would it be when he healed a sick person, drove out a demon, raised Lazarus from the dead? Those are all pretty good miracles, and we haven't even gotten to the greatest miracle of all, where our Lord came down as a human being to suffer and die and rise and win for you the forgiveness of sins. And we haven't talked about the miracle he performed in you when he created you, formed you, and gave you life. The Lord God has performed a lot of miracles. And so we could sit here from now until the end of the day and debate which miracle is the most awesome, and we would probably never come to a consensus. Because to be frank, all the miracles of the Lord God are pretty awesome, aren't they? But when you think about the miracles of the Lord God, whether it's in the Old Testament or New Testament or even today, when you think about these miracles, did you notice they all have one characteristic in common? And it's a characteristic that we really focus on during this first season of the church year, the season of Advent. For in all of these miracles, the Lord God, he came down. We didn't have to go to him and somehow convince him to perform a miracle for us, but he came down to us and performed the miracle free of charge. It's true of all the miracles that he performed. And that's really what the prophet Isaiah is talking about in our Old Testament lesson from chapter 64. For look at our text from the prophet Isaiah. It starts off with Isaiah making a plea to the Lord, a plea that all of us make every year during the season of Advent. He pleads that the Lord would come down. Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and come down, Isaiah says. For Isaiah knows that when the Lord God comes down, he's always doing something great. He always has an effect on people. He always does something awesome. For just as fire always has an effect on stubble, burning it up, just as fire always has an effect on water, causing it to boil, so also the Lord God always has an effect on the people, places, and things that he comes to. Think of the examples. We can start with the beginning of time. The Lord God came down at the beginning of time. He came down to nothing, and he spoke. And what happened? Nothing became something. Or think about what happened after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit in the garden. The Lord God came down to Adam and Eve. He came down and spoke that promise of a Savior. And what happened? Adam and Eve became believers and were forgiven of all their sins. And we could talk about a lot of other stories in the Old Testament. Stories that were all written before the prophet Isaiah wrote these words in about 700 BC. We could talk about stories of Noah or Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Moses or Joshua. We could talk about how the Lord God came down to all those people, spoke to all those people, and did something great for them. For this is a characteristic of the Lord God that differentiates himself from all the false gods that the people around us invent. It's that the Lord God comes down to us. We don't have to go to him, but he comes to us. He takes the initiative. He takes charge. It's not like we have to take charge and dig down deep inside ourselves to find a way to get up to him, but he comes down to us. That differentiates him from all the false gods that the world around us invents. For just think of the false gods of this world. It can be Allah or Buddha or Vishnu. It can be Heavenly Father in the Mormons. It can be Jehovah from the Jehovah Witnesses. At the heart and core, if you really break it down, all these false gods really do the exact same thing. They all sit up in heaven, or wherever they say the holy place is. And what do as they sit in that holy place? They demand that the people come up to them. They don't go down to the people, but they demand that the people come up to them. For they speak laws or rules or regulations or have expectations. And if the people follow those rules or laws or expectations good enough, well, then they make their way into their presence of these false gods, and they believe the false gods would do something great for them. But first, they have to follow those laws or rules or expectations good enough, right? They have to figure out a way to come to God. God doesn't come down to them. But do you ever think of how foolish that is? Do you ever think of how foolish it would be if an almighty, all-powerful God just sits up in heaven and demands that you do something great to get into his presence? You can think of it this way. Imagine that you are on one side of a street and your small child is on the other side of the street. If that were the case, if you were on opposite sides of the street, would you demand that your small child come to you? Would you just stand on the one side of the street and shout a bunch of instructions at the young child, hoping that the young child would follow it good enough in order to safely cross the street? Of course not. For even if your instructions were good, maybe perfect, you can't be confident that your young child is going to follow those instructions good enough to make it across the street. Instead, what would any good parent do? Any good parent would go to the child first. He wouldn't demand that the child come to him, but he would go to the child. He would take the initiative. He would take charge and cross the street so that he could take his child by their hand and bring them safely across the street. It's what any good parent would do. And my dear Christian friends, as we're seeing during this season of Advent, this is what the Lord God does for you. He is not like the invented gods of this world. He doesn't just provide you with a detailed description of what you're supposed to do so that you can please him and come into your presence. No, he comes to you. You don't go to him. That's different than any god invented in this world. For as the prophet Isaiah said in verse 4, from ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has understood, no eye has seen any God except you, who goes into action for the one who waits for him. The Lord God is different. He comes. You don't have to find your way to him. He comes to you. In fact, that is what this season of Advent is all about. It's all about the Lord God coming to you. It's all about the Lord God coming to you as that tiny little baby born in Bethlehem for you. It's all about the Lord God coming to you through the word and sacrament so that he can forgive all your sins. It's all about the Lord God coming to you as judge over all so that he can free you from this world and take you home to heaven. Yes, the Lord God comes to you. He doesn't force you to go to him, but he comes to you. And here's the most amazing part of it all. When the Lord God, the God who is all-powerful and can do anything, when he comes down to you, doesn't punish you as your sins deserved. Instead, when this Lord God comes down to you, he actually comes full of love towards you in order to save you and bless you. And that's absolutely amazing. For Isaiah is clear that none of us should really be all that excited to be in the presence of the Lord God. Whether he's coming as that baby in Bethlehem, whether he's coming through word and sacrament, whether he's coming as judge over all, none of us should be all that excited. For all of us are sinners. You know that. And so the Lord God should come down full of wrath and punishment. I mean, look at how Isaiah describes us in verses 7 and 8 in our text. He uses words 6 and 7 of our text. He uses words like, all of us are unclean. All our righteous acts are like filthy cloth. All of us are like a withered leaf. All of us have guilt. No one calls on your name. You can't get around those words, can you? You can't say, that might be true of this person over here, but it's not true of me. I've been good enough. No, Isaiah is very clear. All of us, including you and me, are sinners. And therefore, none of us should be able to stand in the presence of our Lord. But when the Lord God comes down, he should be coming down to use his power to punish you. But as we get to hear during this great season of Advent, which, by the way, the world around us doesn't like to celebrate. We just want to move right to Christmas, right? But as we get to see during this beautiful season of Advent, that's not why the Lord God is coming down to you. He's not coming down to you with his almighty power to punish you for all the ways that you have disobeyed him, though he most definitely could. Instead, when he comes down to you, he comes down full of love. He comes down with so much love that he's going to use his power in order to save you and bless you. For just as he came down full of love to nothing at the beginning of time and turned it into this wonderful creation, just as he came down to Adam and Eve full of love to promise them a savior and forgive their sins, just as he came down to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua, full of love to do great things for them. So also you can be assured that when the Lord God comes to you, he is coming down to you full of love. And if you need more proof of that, look at our gospel lesson from St. Mark. For were you surprised at what the gospel reading was today? Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It takes some people off on the first Sunday of Advent that we're celebrating Palm Sunday, but notice what happened on that first Palm Sunday. Jesus came to Jerusalem. Jerusalem didn't go to him, but he came to Jerusalem. And he came to Jerusalem on that donkey with one purpose in mind. He came to Jerusalem so full of love for you, so that he could suffer and die for you, so that he could rise for you, so that he could win for you salvation. And if that's why the Lord God came to Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, if it was all for you, then rest assured, dear friends in Christ, when the Lord God comes down to you today, he's coming down to you full of love. He's coming down to bless you. He's coming down to save you. For as Isaiah says in the final paragraph of the text, we are the clay, and you, Lord, are the potter. And at first, my sinful flesh hates that analogy because I like to be in charge and I want to do things on my own. I don't want to just be clay in the potter's hand. But do you see how comforting it is that you are clay in the hands of the Lord God? You see, that means the Lord God has already come down to you. If you're in his hands, the Lord God has already come down to you, and he has come down to you full of so much love that as he's forming your life, as he's leading you where you need to go, he is doing it perfectly for you. All so that he could save you and bless you. And so during this season of Advent, we cry out, come, Lord Jesus. Come as that baby born in Bethlehem to win for me salvation. Come through word and sacrament to give me that salvation. Come as judge over all to take me home to heaven so I can fully realize that salvation. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. For when the Lord God does that one thing that no false god does, when he comes down to his people, rest assured, he's coming full of love. And so he's coming to save. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith using the words of the Nicene Creed as found in the bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ.